So for me personally, I accepted Jesus at a later time in my life. I chose to follow Jesus just before 18. It was this surreal memory, a moment that's still embedded in my memory. Long story short, I was this kid who was very disinterested with God and Christianity. But on this one weekend, I was forced to go to this youth conference in Ontario. And I remember on the very first night, the speaker was talking about the Father's love. And as he was coming towards a close, I kid you not, as he was finishing up, my heart started to beat uncontrollably so fast that I even had to shrug my leader's shoulder and warned him, hey, like I might need you to call the ambulance. And it was at that moment that the speaker all of a sudden said, listen, if your heart is beating so fast, if you can't control it, this may be your moment to accept Jesus. I'm like, come on, like, give me a break. And I tried to fight it. I was in the back bleachers with this black hoodie, and it was all a blur because within a blinking moment, I went from the back of the bleachers of the stadium to the front concrete floor on my knees, just bawling my eyes out, crying and giving my life to Jesus. It was an emotional moment for me. And let me tell you, it wasn't like the cute cry. Like, you know, like that cute cry where it's, aw, that's cute, adorable. Like, no, it was like the ugly cry, like the snot all over your clothes and on the floor. But it was like this amazing moment for me. It was the best time of my life because my life was changed. And I was starting to live and like it. And even 6 months later, God prompted me to become a pastor. And I was planning to go to Bible college. And I was excited, but also nervous. Because in my naive mind, I thought that these Bible college students were like super Christians. Because it was only months into my journey with God. And I felt like this little immature child compared to these Bible college students. And so when I was picturing Bible college, I was picturing people with like these white gowns, like angelic. And they weren't walking in my mind. They were just kind of levitating. That's honestly what I thought what I was going to get myself into. And I was so scared in case I forgot to pray for my food, just in case they're going to lash out at me and stuff like that. And even for the first time, I walked into the dorms with my parents. I took my first step into the lobby and I looked to my left and I saw this guy just playing the guitar. And I looked to my right and there's just three people singing In Christ Alone, this old Christian hymn. And I looked at my mom like, I am not going to fit in here. All I knew growing up was Bon Jovi and Kiss. And the closest thing I knew to Christian music was anything written by Bono from U2 or even Kanye West. But the first semester came and went and it was fantastic. It was a dream. I was being obedient to what God has called me to do. And it was this adventure. I was digging into my Bible. I was learning from my professors. Second semester now came and went. And I'm now getting involved with my church. I'm volunteering at youth group. Third semester came and went. And now I'm diving into internships. And I just got elected to be on student council. But then fourth semester came. Halfway through my second year. And all of a sudden, I just hit this wall. What was once this passionate pursuit of God's call has now turned into this mundane routine at a Christian college. What was once getting life out of the Bible turned into now assignments from now what is called a textbook. You know, we had prayer meetings. We had chapels three times a week. We had student council, church, volunteering with youth, internship. It was so much. So looking back, hindsight, what was once this passion now turned to apathy. It wasn't like this love for God anymore. It was just now just ticking boxes, like I've completed my chores when I was a child. See, life became mundane, repetitious, and I was now going through the motions. See, when I accepted Jesus into my heart, I was so once spiritually enthusiastic, but at that moment, I felt spiritually numb. Was this normal? Is this what a Christian goes through? Should a Christian go through this? Like, I was excited to read my Bible, but now it just turned into a book where I do my assignments from. You know, I used to love going to chapels three times a week, but now it's just too much church. See, professors started taking notice of it and called me out on it. And I actually got a little bit scared and I felt like I was in a dangerous spot because now I thought in my mind, I was not going to be used by God and for his plan. And so when I chatted with my professor, it was the first time I heard this word apathy. And see, in the summer, we're in the series called Weeds. And today, the weed of apathy, see, it begins with a root. And its root today is a lack of passion for what Christ originally did in our hearts. See, there's this incredible passage in the Bible that is both encouraging and challenging to this topic, and it's found in actually the last book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and let's take a look at it. It says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is a message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. So just to give you a heads up, in the passage here, there are seven letters written to seven churches, and every letter kind of has a different theme. But overall, the umbrella of truth is still the same. Just say, get back to Jesus. Get back to Jesus. So he continues, I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know that you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You discover they're liars. You're patiently suffered for me without quitting. Good stuff, huh? But there's one complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Please turn back to me and do what you did at first. If you don't repent, meaning if you don't turn around, then I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. A bit blunt, huh? Like, why this type of language towards this church? We have to understand Ephesus, that the city is so important. It was an important city economically. It was an important city politically. And it was an important city religiously. So why is this important? It's because this city and this church has a lot of influence towards its adjacent communities. See, Jesus is writing to them so honestly and bluntly, trying to illustrate to them the severity of the issue that's at hand. That lack of passion and growth of apathy will start to now reciprocate itself onto other things that they're doing in the church. It could turn to a very slippery slope and then end up being this unfortunate cycle. So it's agreed that the theme of this letter to the church of Ephesus is a lack of passion, aka a disinterest in the things of God, aka apathy. But you know, it's not all that bad. You see, they're doing a great job in a lot of areas here. So as we go forward, like, he's commending them for a bunch of things. He's commending them for hard work. He's commending them for their patient endurance. He's commending for their standard to not tolerate evil people. And then later on in verse 3, he really commends them for just patiently suffering without quitting. But there's just one thing that he's nailing them on. And it's the one thing that's the overall driver of the entire Christian journey. It's the love behind it. It's the fervor, the passion. See, they had it technically all together. You know, this church, they were serving, they were working, they were giving, renovating the building, they were even amening the preacher, but their doctrine and their truth became stronger than their passion for the person of Jesus. It was all in their head, but they lost it in their hearts. And that's what Jesus cares about. What good is it to know about God when you don't really know God personally? See, God is the only one that will instill that passion, but that can't happen if you don't allow him to work in your life. So perhaps for this church in Ephesians, in this passage, had begun to take for granted what they had in Christ in the first place. So going back to verse 4, and I want to read this in the Message translation because it says it quite nicely. It says, but you walked away from your first love. You walked away. Why? What's going on with you anyway? So like, what's the backstory? Like, what happened that allowed you to forget about your first love? And I really had to go through this and examine my own life. So what caused me to lose my love and passion for God? What causes apathy? There's a couple of things here. Number one, it could be self-sufficiency. See, thinking that you have it all together material-wise and also spiritually-wise. See, in this next chapter, Jesus writes to another church, another letter, but still the umbrella of truth is all the same. But he goes on in Revelation chapter 3, and he writes this. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. See, having things can lead to apathy. Having so many little things can leave us at times numb to the things that actually matter. So the more and more you have, It can sometimes cause us to be less enthusiastic to the things that matter. And yeah, we want to push towards the bigger picture, but sometimes we just don't tend to care enough because it may not satisfy our taste buds. See, God is a God of new things. He continually wants to grow and challenge and encourage and give gifts to his children. But when we live lives of self-sufficiency, it's like we're walking around with our hands and our arms full. And it could look okay for a moment, but then when God wants to give you a new thing or a new promise, you can't get anything because your hands are already full and already handcuffed. See, when you live a self-sufficient life, you could be in danger of living an apathetic life. And when you live an apathetic life, then you treat God like he's just one trick pony, and then your spiritual maturity will never grow because you're just content to live life like this. Hands full, don't need anything else, spiritually numb now to the things that break the heart of Jesus. So the second thing could be this: self-sufficiency, then distractions. See, usually in the Bible, the devil will often not to come and just wipe you out. That's not his tactic. His tactic isn't just to destroy you, but to sometimes distract you. Now, this is in Mark 4:19, kind of the base verse of our series called Weeds. And just to give you a little recap, this is a parable of the farmer throwing seeds in the ground. And then some of them are growing and giving life. But for others, it's a different story. But here, check it out. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Take a look at this. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things. The Bible did not come to write COVID or World War III or killer hornets. Like, these things are not means of destruction. It's a distraction. So if he can distract you, then he will leverage it to make you deviate away from your purpose in life and get you to live outside of God's calling. And now all of a sudden, things that bring life are now numb. And then all of a sudden, you're not bowing down to God's throne anymore, but now you're bowing down to your own throne that you made for yourself. And now, unfortunately, you won't be able to see God because you're in the way. You see these examples right here. These are not direct attacks on you. These are just opportunities. And the ball is in your court to see how you will respond to these. See, unfortunately, a lot of people try to blame their mistakes on other things. Like, oh, it's my toxic workplace that's keeping me from God, or it's a lack of finances that make me not trust God. Well, like, what if it is you? What if you're in the way of what God has actually planned for you? You might be surprised, and even for myself, I have found that I've taken things into my own hands far too many times, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my heart grows cold, my routine is thrown off, I get short with people, and now my spiritual growth is now being choked out through this weed. So why is it important to name all this stuff out? Well, because if we're not careful, our entire lifestyle starts to change. And so, just a little test here. How do we know we're living in an apathetic lifestyle? Well, there's a few things here that's pretty straightforward, okay? We have, number one, we're more concerned with impressing people than living for God. Maybe you want to show off your car or your home or your different toys rather than showing off the things that God is doing in your life. See, I'm a victim of this myself, and at many times, I'm embarrassed or concerned what people may think of me rather than what God has actually called me to do. So, if you keep working like this, you give your pieces away, then you can't give your whole life to God anymore. Number two, we are more obsessed with life on earth rather than life in eternity. See, don't get me wrong. Having things on earth is great. You know, the goal to have a great home or to buy things for your kids or to spoil your grandchildren, like, these are all great things, but it can become an issue when the things of this world trump the things of God. Number three, we start justifying our own sin. See, and this is something that I really had to deal with as well. Like, when we start to have a mentality of thinking like, oh, well, like, at least I'm not as bad as others, or, well, I'm not really hurting anyone, or, well, everyone is gossiping, then sooner or later, you will start to find that your heart, as in mine, can become very callous and numb to the things of God. Lastly, We only turn to God when we need him. When we need him. It's interesting when bad things happen that we would start to run towards God and start pointing the finger. But then when we're living in blessings, we're very reluctant to even acknowledge him. Now, please remember something. Apathy is one of the hardest things to self-diagnose, which can make it pretty dangerous if we're not careful, right? But just because we may sometimes live in an apathetic season doesn't mean that we're not good people. Like the Bible says in Revelation 2, the flame was burning with passion, but has just gone dim. So just because the fire has gone dim does not mean it can't be reignited again. So how do we get it back? How do we get the flame burning passionately once again? You know, the answer, it's actually surprisingly quite simple. And it's this, that we need to put ourselves in positions constantly that will feel the weight of faith. Now, I put this word faith right here on purpose because weight means that there's a resistance. There's friction. There's something that's being worked inside of you. So listen, we need to continually do what we've always been doing. We need to continually be soaking ourselves in the Bible because it's the direction of our lives. We need to soak ourselves in prayer because it really aligns our soul with God. We need to soak ourselves in worship, however that may look like for you, because it puts our souls at rest and puts us in awe of who God is. We need to give because it puts our souls in a position to trust God's power and his plan. So what did this passage in the book of Revelation say? Said, if you remember, you fell away from your first love. You walked away from your first love. So now that poses the question, what did your first love look like? And how did it manifest itself? Well, for me personally, when I fell in love with Jesus, I fell in love with the things of Jesus. I shared my faith with people and tangibly got to see people saved. I was brought on this roller coaster of an adventure, not knowing what would be next, but just trusting him. I remember when I first accepted Jesus, I lived a life where I prayed every morning, Lord, if you do not come through for me today, I don't know what I'm going to do. So back to my original story in college when I hit a wall, I was so discontent with my soul state. I was growing cold and bitter. I was neglecting my devotions and it started affecting every other aspect of my life now. I needed to do something. And I'll shake it up a little bit. So what did I have to do? So for me, in my college, I started this thing called SPC Loves Abby. My school was called Summit Pacific College, which is the first letters of the acronym. And the school was in Abbotsford. So I started by bringing in a group of friends and we were all pitching money together to buy this massive container of coffee from Starbucks. And we would just stand in front of the grocery store and hand out free coffee to people, hoping to spark conversations about Jesus. Like it really terrified me. Like I was cringing before we did this, but I prayed, Lord, I need you to come through. In my heart, I needed to do this because I needed to feel the weight of stepping out in faith. Let me tell you, it was absolutely incredible. Some people got to meet Jesus, some inquired. Sure, a lot of people walked by, but by the end of the day, I saw God's power come through and it ignited this flame again inside of me. This other example, other story, this other time in college, I felt God tug on my heart that I had to give things away that I owned. So pretty much anything that was under $200, if someone would comment on it, I would offer to them as a gift. And it was actually quite awesome. Some people would come up to me and say, hey, cool hoodie. And I'd be like, well, thanks. Do you want it? And you should have seen the faces of them when I did that. It was so awesome. And when I did it, sure, I gave away some material possessions, but I felt the weight of faith to trust God that he would provide for other things in the future. Listen, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but I just wanted to illustrate to you what positions I needed to put myself in to ignite some sort of flame and get excited about the things of God once again. See, maybe your story is similar to mine, or it could be quite different. But for you, what could it look like specifically? Well, maybe you need to stand up for a cause that's bigger than yourself and may require you to do things that your coworkers, friends, and families may not be doing. Maybe you need to apologize to someone or forgive someone when you know you shouldn't. Maybe you need to reach out to someone that God put on your heart. Maybe it's a coffee or even a text. Maybe you need to pray for someone out loud. Maybe you should surround yourself with people that will inspire you and push you forward in your spiritual growth and your love for Jesus. Could be joining a small group, having coffee or lunch meetings with men and women to be raw with each other. This could be a shameless plug because I'm the youth pastor here, but maybe you need to look to the youth. I'm constantly put in places where I'm inspired and encouraged by what my kids are doing. And maybe you just need to come book a visit on a youth night because, man, these students are so passionate about Jesus. They engage with worship. They spread their faith to their friends. If you don't know what Youth Alpha is, it's basically this little video series that sparks a conversation about life and faith. And guess what? This year, we had students lead Youth Alpha in their school, specifically 14 schools right here in the city. Unfortunately, this year had to be cut off a little short. But last year, remember the numbers, that we had 28 students accept Jesus for the very first time. The best part was that these students led the sinner's prayer with them. Blows my mind with how amazing they are. You want to see what passion looks like? Maybe sometimes we need to look to the younger generation. So maybe you also need to attempt something new that you can never even pull off without God's help. Let me tell you, this was the hardest prayer that I've ever done, but probably one of the most amazing. And the prayer is this. It's very simple. God, if you don't come through today, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because it puts you in a position of trusting God rather than yourself. And when you see God come through, then all of a sudden this passion starts to enter in again. The flame gets reignited. So this is a guarantee that apathy is a season. Apathy is a valley. Apathy is temporary, meaning that there's always a beginning and an end. We can feel stuck and stay stuck, or we can move forward together. I have this other guarantee, that God is eternal. God has not met his match. God just wants to be cried out to do what God has already been doing. Fill your life up with purpose. So you feel like you're moving towards apathy. Maybe the things of Jesus are not as interesting to you as before. Maybe the enthusiasm and love behind everything you're doing is just growing a little dim. I believe with my whole heart that Jesus is the power to remove that weed and its root and allow you to live life that's passionate once again. Hey, if you're feeling like you're moving towards apathy, maybe the things of Jesus are not as interesting to you as before, and maybe the enthusiasm and love behind everything you're doing is just growing a little dim. Hey, listen, I strongly believe that Jesus has the power to remove that weed and its root and allow you to live that passionate life once again. If you've never had a chance to accept Jesus, we strongly believe here at Hope City that following Jesus is the best decision anyone can make. And so if you want to take that next step right now, then I'd love to pray with you at this moment. Let's pray together. So Father, we acknowledge our lives that it is nothing without you. I pray, Lord, that you would come and fill us up with your love and your grace and your compassion. Lord, we repent and turn away from all the things that we're doing before and now turn towards you. May we love you with all our lives, and we are so excited to the adventure you're going to bring us on. Lord, we also pray for those in our church that's going through the series right now. Lord, specifically through apathy, if things are growing a little dim or if there's some disinterest coming into our lives, I pray you remove these hurdles and obstacles that draw us closer towards you. So Father, I pray again that you would instill passion into their lives again. I pray you bring in love once again into their lives. And Lord, that they would live life to the fullest as you called us to. So Father, I just pray for all of us together, Lord. Excited for the journey and adventure you're going to bring us on. Pray all this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer of salvation with us, like, we're so pumped. It's an absolute incredible decision, and you're in for an adventure ride. I'd love to encourage you next to check out hopecity.ca/life. There, we just want to give you some free resources to better understand the decision you just made. You can download this booklet to give you next steps on Christianity. You'll also have a chance to sign up for a course called Alpha, which sparks a conversation about life, faith, and Jesus. And you'll also have an opportunity to contact one of our pastors if you choose to do so. Hey, know that as a staff of this church that we are constantly thinking of you and praying for you. Maybe the series that it will be a blessing and a challenge to you to live the life that God has called you to live. Love you guys. Take care.